I'm Amelia Mola-Schmidt, and you're listening to In Conversation with Radio Laurier. Back in March, the coronavirus pandemic left many Canadian students with an abrupt end to their school years, some being forced to move out of residence on short notice, and others not getting to celebrate their proms and high school or university graduations. It all seems grim, but many students, including the ones we interviewed this week, are rising to the occasion. On this week's episode of our podcast, we have two stories of students working on excellent projects for their community throughout the pandemic. Our first story is close to home. A first-year BBA student from Laurier, Cole Starkman, has started his own business called PPE On Demand, which aims to get personal protective equipment at affordable prices, so staying safe isn't unaffordable. Later in the program, we'll hear from two students, Laura Beth and Jisoo, who are volunteering their time amongst other students this summer to build tiny homes for the homeless at St. Mary's of Sorrows Roman Catholic Church. Cool, thank you so much for joining us today. Can you tell us a bit about yourself, your program of study at Laurier, and where are you from?
Absolutely. My name is Cole Starkman. I'm from Toronto, Ontario. Finished my first year of BBA at Laurier, going into my second in the fall. And so this summer, I decided I would start my own company, try and apply everything I learned in first year to, I guess, the summer, and gain some experience and try and get ahead for second year.
Wow. How did it feel ending your first year, like, with a global pandemic?
Yeah, it was definitely really weird. It was kind of expected because we were one of the last universities to get sent home, but it was definitely a shock. I mean, we got an email Monday morning that we had to be out by Wednesday, and we were just all panicking. It was pretty crazy, but it was kind of expected, I guess, at that point.
For sure. Now, can you tell us a little bit about your business, PPE On Demand?
For sure. So it pretty much formulated as, I mean, I wanted to, you know, apply everything that I was learning. And I thought, how can I, you know, use what's, I guess, trending in the world? And how can I use that in a beneficial way and help the community out in the same time? So I thought, let's do PPE. You know, I wanted to make it very accessible to people. I know that it was really hard to get a few months ago, especially, you know, during like March and April when everything was going crazy. People were going absolutely nuts for everything. And so I thought, how can I, you know, help make it accessible for people, help, you know, I mean, still at stores, there's limits on everything you can buy. I mean, you can only buy like 50 masks or something at a lot of retail stores. I thought, let's make this very accessible and easy to get for people, especially, you know, a lot of small businesses don't really have the time or the resources to get their hands on this. And so I thought this would be perfect.
Wow, that's so cool. Now, what kind of inspired you to start PPE On Demand?
I guess just, you know, I just saw what was going on in the world. I thought, you know, this is the most, I guess, on trend product and niche that we can go with. And I thought, let's make this happen. Let's make this a beneficial thing for the community. It just sort of formulated and I don't know, it just sort of happened. I was trying to think of a product to sell or a niche to go into. And, you know, I thought that this would be an on-trend thing. And it was sort of going with everything that was happening in the world. And it was also, you know, going to be beneficial for the community. That's sort of how it all started.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know your products are a lot cheaper than most. So how did that kind of happen? How did that connection happen?
You know, I know a lot of places were doing a lot of price gouging, and I really didn't want to be part of that. I really wanted to be ethical in how we did everything, and, you know, obviously make it very accessible to people and not absolutely just destroy people's pockets on things that they absolutely need. And so I thought, okay, I'll make this sort of, you know, affordable. I don't want to be, you know, outpricing any, you know, retail stores or any, you know, I don't want to make it accessible but not accessible from a price point standpoint. Yeah. And I sort of thought, how can we make this fair? And obviously, accessibility was the number one thing that we were focusing on.
Now, I know you've been hiring students as well. What made you look to your fellow peers for assistance in starting your company?
Yeah, I know that everyone was sort of, you know, hanging out at home, not really doing too much. There was, you know, CERB happening and then obviously quarantine, and sort of developing almost like a lazy kind of mentality for a lot of people that I know at school. And it wasn't really what I wanted them to be. I wanted, you know, to help out my fellow students and give them an opportunity to make money this summer instead of just hanging out at home. And also the fact that, you know, I can allow them to work from home was a big thing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I want to bring on fellow students, and, you know, I don't know, I just thought it would be a great way to involve the Laurier community and, you know, not even students from other schools as well. And, you know, just teach them sort of what I'm learning and help benefit them as well.
Nice. How many students roughly do you have working with you now?
Right now I don't have any, but before I had around five.
Nice.
But it's sort of, yeah, we've sort of had some have left. Right now we don't have any. It's just me and my parents going right now with it. But as school approaches, I'm definitely looking to bring on more people.
That's fantastic. And are you planning on going back to Waterloo in September, or are you staying back?
Yeah.
Everything is so up in the air with online classes and everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's all online, but I mean, my apartment was already is prepaid for, so it's paid for regardless of whether I go. So
yeah,
I'm going to move in. All my roommates are moving in. I have five or four roommates, so they're all moving in. So I'm going to be moving in with them, but I'll probably be fairly mobile between Waterloo and Toronto.
Good.
You know, like I don't really have any commitment to stay in Waterloo because obviously everything's online, so yeah. I can be 100% mobile.
That's awesome. And I'm sure it's good for your business too.
Oh, 100%. It's a huge, huge asset.
So have you, I'm assuming you kind of started out in Waterloo. Have you branched out to kind of like the GTA or other regions in Canada? How has it kind of expanded since you started?
Yeah. We focus a lot of the marketing efforts in Ontario, mainly the GTA, and Waterloo, I guess. But we've sort of covered a lot of Ontario. Now we're broadening across Canada. Mm-hmm. Possibly the US if we can, but it's definitely a different market. But obviously they need it a lot more than we do right now. So that definitely could be a thing. But yeah, I mean we're sort of just focusing on expanding across Canada right now. Obviously, you know, the GTA is our main market since that's where we're based out of, but we are trying to cover Canada. You know, we have customers that have bought from BC, we've had some from Winnipeg, from Nova Scotia. So we, but the majority of our clients are from Ontario, from Toronto mainly, but yeah, we are trying to go across Canada as much as possible.
That's great. I mean, it must be, I mean, for a PPE company, seeing what's going on in the States, it must be like astonishing for you.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. I mean, we really actually wanted to sell to the States, but there's a lot of different logistical issues that are involved with that. And so right now we're just sort of targeting Canada for the simplicity sake of it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I don't know why people are being so ridiculous there. I mean, no one's, I don't know why people won't wear masks. It's pretty insane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the answers are right there. And like, there's no question as to why they're doing so poorly. I mean, the answers are right in front of our face. And I mean, we see the way Canada has been handling it and the numbers are dropping every day. And I don't know why the US and the American people just won't follow the same sort of deal.
It's true. And I can imagine it must be frustrating for you just working directly in that and seeing how almost easy the solutions are.
Yeah,
just for
exactly.
basic every day going out.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, I don't know why it's such a big deal to people. I don't find the mask that much of a problem. You know, I usually just wear one of the 3-ply disposable ones that's a little hot, but I pull it down every few minutes for some air and it's fine. I don't know what the big problem is, to be honest. It's really not a big deal to me. I know some people really don't like it, but that it comes before safety, you know. I mean, no, that doesn't come before safety. Safety comes before me being a little uncomfortable. So
for sure, especially in this context.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not even just for myself, just for, you know, the people around me. You know, if I don't care about my own safety, then I at least don't be selfish and not care about others.
Infringe on others. Yeah, absolutely. So what have you learned about kind of working with the community and your fellow students on this business? What has it taught you?
It's definitely taught me to be ready for everything. There's infinite amount of problems and things you have to work out every single day. There's always a new hurdle that you have to overcome. You know, it's constant hard work. It's not, as you know, a lot of people will kind of portray starting a business as sort of an easy-ish thing, and that it can be sort of just launched, and it's not. It's 24/7, a lot of hard work, and you know, you have to be really prepared for everything, not in a reactive way, in a proactive way. You have to, like, oh, know what's about to happen before it's going to happen, or else you're going to have issues. And just learning sort of that pure lesson has, you know, it's just such a gain. I mean, the way I sort of look at businesses and running a business now from, you know, 6 months ago is completely different scale.
Right. What's the biggest barrier you've come across so far?
Time is 100% the biggest barrier. You know, I could 100% work in this 24/7, and you know, every single day I say I'm going to stay up all night to work on this, and it gets like to 2-3 in the morning, I'm just exhausted and I can't. And it's like, I always need more time to put into this, and there's just not enough time.
So kind of setting boundaries for your own personal and professional life is.
Yeah. It's definitely taken over a lot of my other aspects of my life. It's sort of been a priority and has overtaken everything else. I mean, I've been doing this all day, every day for the past few months, and I haven't had much of a summer other than that, but it's good. I love it. It's 100% different from, you know, working for a company and working for someone else. It's your own thing, and you feel the rewards and you feel the pain of it going well or going poorly. And and when it does go well, it feels really good.
Yeah.
And you know, to feel the rewards of all the hard work is amazing.
Absolutely. And I'm sure it feels so good, help, like being able to be a part of like community, like helping the community and
absolutely
doing something good.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's one of the biggest things I love about it, is that, you know, we're helping people, we're getting the people the products that they need, and to stay safe and, you know, at a affordable and accessible price. And that's really what we're focused on. And it feels good to be able to help out.
Absolutely. And I know you touched on this a little bit earlier about price gouging. So many companies at the beginning of the pandemic were jacking up the prices of essential PPE equipment. Did this kind of play a role in your drive to start your own business? Was this frustrating for you to see?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely played a role. I mean, I saw everything that, I mean, these masks were over, and even the disposable ones were like a few dollars a mask, which is insane. Now they're far less than a dollar a mask. And I mean, it's just taking advantage of a need. And, you know, everyone needs it. It's not like a want at all. And there's not really alternatives to it. And just to take advantage of something that people literally need to stay safe. And especially, you know, it's one thing if it's people can afford it, but it's just expensive. But it's another thing if you literally can't afford it and you need it. And if you don't have it, you could possibly get corona. And that's, I just didn't think that was fair or ethical. And especially of these big conglomerate companies. And you know, I thought, okay, let's get around this.
Absolutely.
But that was also, you know, one of the hurdles that we experienced early was finding products that were affordable.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, so much of this pandemic has shown the economic inequality. And I think you consciously making an effort to want to minimize the price of your product so everybody has access or more of a chance to gain access is really commendable.
Thank you. Yeah, it's definitely been a process to get fairly priced products.
Absolutely.
Was
there anything about being a Laurier student? You know, we're a smaller school, we're a fairly tight-knit community. So community is, a fairly large Laurier value. Did this kind of play a role in you wanting to do this kind of work that helps the community?
Yeah, it definitely did. You know, that's definitely something I love about Laurier, is that it's very small and you sort of know like most people on campus. And I really like that, especially, you know, from your own year. That was one of the things that attracted to me over other schools, was that everything was, you know, everyone was very close and the campus was very small and, you know, tight knit. And, you know, I felt the big community role that was there when I was at their first year. And yeah, I mean, even just in the KW region, I really enjoyed sort of the community feel that I got when I was there versus Toronto. It's very different. It's much smaller and closer. And yeah, I mean, that definitely played a role. It definitely inspired me to sort of help out more and do a more community oriented business.
Fantastic. And if you could give some advice to a student, maybe a student in your program or just another Laurier student who wants to start a business kind of like this, helping the community, but maybe doesn't know where to begin, what would it be?
I would say just learn a lot about what you want to do, read a lot, watch a lot of YouTube videos, like literally just learn as much as you can, reach out to people, find a good mentor that can guide you and help you through this. Cause mm-hmm. you know, a lot of this, I didn't know how to do a lot of this. I struggled and hit a lot of roadblocks. Mm-hmm. And fortunately I had my dad to help me mentor me through all this. And he's had a lot of experience in business, and that's definitely played a big role in me being successful with it. Mm-hmm. And you know, to have someone that I can always sort of reach out to and help me with all the sort of problems that I have is big. And I don't think I could do it without that sort of role.
That's good. Good advice. And just one final question for you. What are your plans post pandemic? Is there another business in the works potentially, or what's going to happen?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, I don't 100% know. I definitely will look to start another business in a similar sort of platform in the mm-hmm. sense of e-commerce. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great platform to make money. I think it's a lot more sensible than a brick and mortar store, especially in this day and age. You know, a lot of everything is done online. I mean, look at Amazon. It's the biggest company out there right now. I think it just makes everything so much easier. The fact that you can simply do things from home is amazing. And I would love to, you know, start many more businesses through e-commerce. I think it's an amazing platform that a lot of people should explore.
Awesome. Well, Cole, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for telling us more about PPE on demand. And thank you for the work that you're doing, super important work, to make PPE more accessible and more affordable for everyone in the community.
Absolutely. Thank you, Amelia.
All right. Well, good morning, ladies. Thank you for joining us this morning. I'm super excited to hear about your project with the tiny homes. So go ahead and introduce yourselves.
Yeah, my name is Laura Beth. I'm a graduating grade 12 student.
Wow. Okay.
And my name is Jisoo Park, and I am also a graduating grade 12 student.
Awesome. So can you tell us a little bit about the tiny house project?
So we have ordered 10, basically they're sheds, they're small one-room houses that we are furnishing and finishing to send off to tiny home villages so that those who are less fortunate can live in them and have a place to stay.
Wow, that's amazing community work. And what inspired you to spend your summer doing this kind of work?
Yeah, I think a lot of us had, of course, plans to do other things. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, with COVID, everything, all plans are changed, right? So a lot of us were talking, yeah, we were sitting at home and we heard about this opportunity through school or through churches. And it just seemed like really a good thing to be a part of. It seemed exciting and really hands-on. Mm-hmm. And what a great way to make an impact with this extra time that we have.
For sure. And now community work is more important than ever. How has mm-hmm. it been helping the community in this way throughout the summer? How have you guys felt?
It's been really fulfilling. So we work outside in the church like parking lot. Mm-hmm. And so obviously while still maintaining social distance, we've been able to see other members of the community and other members of the church just walking past after mass or after gatherings, and they just tell us how wonderful it is to see this kind of work being done by students. Mm-hmm. And it's just really nice to see that we're spreading kindness, joy, and empathy.
That's mm-hmm. awesome, especially working outside in this heat this summer. That must be killer for yeah. you guys. That's awesome.
Yeah, some days are a little rough, but we're mostly working in the mornings.
Oh,
so it's not too bad. We've got music going. We really enjoy being with each other as well as getting the work done. So.
Nice. And have you found a lot of people stop and ask you what you're working on during the day?
Yeah, they do. People just who are walking by on the streets or coming out of the church, they've often like seen it on the news.
Yeah.
This tiny homes project. Oh, are these tiny homes? Yeah, we have them painted really bright colors.
Yeah.
So they're pretty eye-catching.
Nice. Yeah, I saw the blue. It looks very nice. Whoever picked that color chose well. So the region of Waterloo is now considering placing these tiny homes on green spaces next to affordable housing. How does it feel to know that something that you guys are working on might be used long term by those in need in your community?
It just feels really great because having an impact on people's lives is just so fulfilling and wonderful. And knowing that this is going to have like long-term impacts on many people over the years is just such a great feeling.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, what have you learned about the importance of standing in solidarity with members of your community during tough times like this with this project that you've been working on?
You know, this kind of project and stepping up and giving up your time, it takes a lot of courage and it takes this willingness to do good things. And I think that all of us together, we've just bonded over this one goal to help as many people as possible, building the best tiny homes and coming in every morning and putting on our best game face and putting in the effort. Knowing that we're working towards this goal has been very fulfilling. It's been great bonding with everyone on the team, knowing that we're doing good work.
Yeah, and I think a few weeks in the future, we're going to actually get to meet some of the people who are going to live in these homes. And I think that's something we're all really looking forward to have that face-to-face connection with people. Yeah,
that's going to be super powerful, I feel like, for you too. What's been the hardest thing working on this project? Has there been any barriers that you guys have come across? Any tough days?
Obviously all of us have little to some experience working in construction.
Yeah.
So learning these new skills and applying them has been definitely a challenge. Dealing with the weather, you know, this morning it was raining. So we have to adjust our schedules based on that. But it's just been really great because all of us come in with this mindset to learn something new.
Yeah.
And it's just been, it's been a good challenge.
Right.
Yeah.
So you said that none of you really had any like carpentry skills going into this.
I think maybe only one or two of the, I think it's about 12 of us.
Yeah.
Had even any experience. Yeah. So a lot of us were using these saws, we're carrying heavy paneling, we're doing things, learning how to measure and use the lingo.
Wow. So you're doing this wonderful community work, but you're also like building all these really good skills. Can you guys come and build my house? That's fantastic. So who kind of was there like a group instructing you guys on everything? How did that work out?
So the caretaker, Andrew, he's been mostly leading us through the project. And then we have other volunteers from the community who have experience in carpentry and who have experience in building houses and building tiny homes who have been leading us through all of the instructions. Mm-hmm. And it's been really great.
Wow. So how long has it like roughly taken? How long will it roughly take to build one tiny house?
Well, we've been working on the first two for the last, how many weeks has it been?
Week and a half.
Yeah, a week and a half. And we need to have these two finished actually by the end of today so that they can be towed off.
Yeah.
And yeah, we did a little bit of painting work the other day on some other houses. But yeah, we're hoping even as we move on, we'll be able to pick up the pace once we really get in the group and we're not learning the new tasks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Wow, that's impressive. And have either of you two learned anything kind of interesting about yourselves through doing this kind of important work for the community? Do you see yourself doing it long term?
I mean, I've learned that I'm like more resilient than I think I am. You know, like if you told me a month and a half ago that I would be building tiny houses and getting on my knees and painting and screwing things into walls, I would have told you that you were crazy. But this project has really taught me that, you know, I can do more than I think I can.
I'd say the same. Like you learn you're surprisingly capable.
Yeah.
Like you feel like you want to second guess yourself at the beginning when you're like reading measurements and you know you have the power to cut this material completely wrong, but you learn to trust yourself, and that's been kind of a cool experience. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think what you touched on is resilience. I think that's such a key like skill that you can take on when doing projects. Like you said, none of you really were comfortable with carpentry, and look at you now. So what's everyone's plan for the fall? I know one of you mentioned that you're in grade 12.
Yes.
Both
yeah.
of you? Or?
So both of us have just finished grade 12.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks.
The plan for me is to go to Laurier, actually.
Oh, what program?
I'm in the Political Science Sussex program.
Oh, very nice.
So I'll be starting my first year in political science in the fall.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm actually coming back for one more semester of high school, and then I'll apply this fall to university. I'm looking into social sciences and social development and stuff like that.
That's fantastic. And wow, so like I said, congratulations on graduating high school. What was it like to finish your 4 years when a global pandemic was going on?
Oh, it was pretty abrupt. It was, you had to kind of grieve a few things when it kind of became clear, like, okay, we're not going to get to say proper goodbyes to all our peers and teachers, and just not have the closure that we kind of would have thought, like with prom and with the big ceremony and all that. But in the end, I think it's turned somewhat positive. I think, I know over like social media, like our school community came together in really special ways, and it still feels like we made it, and we're proud of it.
good. Well, congratulations, ladies. I wish you nothing but the best, and thank you for doing this super important work for the community. I'm so excited to see how everything turns out.
Thank you.
If you'd like to learn more about PPE On Demand, please visit ppeondemand.ca. For more information on St. Mary's Tiny Home Project, please visit stmaryschurch.ca. In Conversation with Radio Laurier is written and produced by Amelia Mola-Schmidt. The song we use is called Loopster by Kevin MacLeod. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.